Hi, I'm Alex Bice, Senior Editor of Cure.
And I'm Brielle Bennion, Assistant Managing Editor of Cure.
Now, last week we saw an FDA approval for a new drug regimen, though not a cure, in the pancreatic cancer space, as well as some expert opinions about cancer vaccines. Additionally, research touched upon the potential benefit of concurrent ctDNA and tumor testing and physical activity for pain reduction in cancer survivors. So I guess to start us off, and I feel like I say this most episodes, Brielle, what's the FDA up to now?
On Tuesday, the Food and Drug Administration approved Onivyde plus oxaliplatin, fluorouracil, and leucovorin, a regimen referred to as NALIRIFOX, for the frontline treatment of patients with metastatic adenocarcinoma of the pancreas. So that's pancreatic cancer. The approval was based on findings from the NAPOLI-3 trial, which showed that the drug combination improved overall survival. So remember, that's the time after treatment that patients live before death of any cause, and progression-free survival, which is the time they live before their disease worsens or death, compared to a combination of gemcitabine plus nab-paclitaxel. While this approval provides a new promising treatment for this patient population, Dr. Anthony Shields of the Karmanos Cancer Center in Detroit mentioned that the Onivyde-containing regimen is not a cure. So in a recent interview with Cure, here's what he had to say about it.
Unfortunately, in our patients with advanced disease, this is not a curative therapy at this point. It clearly improves survival. It's still got its share of toxicities, though I think it's probably better, although it wasn't directly compared to FOLFIRINOX. We need better drugs despite the improvements. If patients get this regimen as a first line, inevitably, if they're doing okay, we will give the gemcitabine nab-paclitaxel as the second line regimen. But we really don't have a third line regimen, and we really still need better drugs.
Yeah, that was a little highlight from my conversation with Dr. Shields. And for more on that news, be sure to head to curetoday.com. Also on curetoday.com, you'll find my latest reporting on cancer vaccines. The oncology community is on the cusp of a sea change regarding cancer vaccines, as one expert told us. Current vaccines have a dismal record and minimal evidence of efficacy, as Dr. Jeffrey S. Weber, Deputy Director of the NYU Langone Perlmutter Cancer Center, and Laura and Isaac Perlmutter, Professor of Oncology at NYU Grossman School of Medicine, told me over email recently. Now, Dr. Weber was among the researchers on the recent KEYNOTE-942 study investigating the mRNA vaccine mRNA-4157 and Keytruda versus standalone Keytruda for the treatment of patients with advanced stage melanoma. And at a median follow-up time of 23 and 24 months, the recurrence or death rates were 22% and 40%, and the 18-month recurrence-free survival rates were 79% and 62%, respectively. And the FDA, that's the Food and Drug Administration, granted breakthrough therapy designation to the combination for the post-surgical treatment of patients with high-risk melanoma in 2023, based on the results of KEYNOTE-942. And Dr. Weber told me that this mRNA vaccine, quote, would be the first approved cancer vaccine with clear-cut evidence of efficacy in a well-done phase three trial. And that trial was recently initiated. Pharmaceutical companies Moderna and Merck kicked off V940-001, which is a phase three study evaluating mRNA-4157 and Keytruda as a post-surgical treatment for stages 2B to 4 melanoma, announcing in June of last year that the global patient recruitment had begun following primary analysis of the findings from KEYNOTE-942.
So basically, Alex, should patients talk about the potential of participating in a clinical trial for a cancer vaccine? What's the guidance there? What did Dr. Weber say about that?
Dr. Weber strongly urged patients with melanoma to be sure to speak to their doctors about enrollment in this or a trial, because trials are happening right now. So if you are a patient, if you are listening to this and you fit the criteria for trials that are happening, have those conversations with your doctor, because this is where the front lines of treatment advancements are happening.
Yeah, definitely. You get to get those newly developed drugs so much earlier because you don't have to wait for the approval for them to become available on the market. So, yeah, I know that Dr. Weber is always a big proponent of participating in clinical trials. A lot of the clinicians that we talk to are. So, I would echo Alex and agree. It might be worth just talking to your team. Hey, are there trials that are available to me?
Absolutely. And in general, it's worth talking to your team just to make sure you are receiving the latest, greatest, brightest treatment that is most appropriate for you and your disease, up to and including clinical trial enrollment.
And that kind of segues nicely into the next story that we're featuring today regarding, you know, the newest, best, and potentially most personalized medicine. Circulating tumor DNA and tumor tissue-based testing, they're both methods that can identify cancer characteristics that can point a patient towards more targeted treatment regimens. So oftentimes, patients undergo only one or two of these tests, but recent research showed that undergoing both may improve a patient's chance of having these targetable mutations identified. So these kind of tests are becoming more and more important as we're getting specific cancer treatments that targets maybe a specific protein found on the cancer cell or certain molecular characteristics of the disease. So it's worth mentioning that some patient populations, such as those with non-small cell lung cancer, they may already be undergoing both tests in accordance with NCCN guidelines. But the findings of this particular study support that other groups, such as those with breast cancer, may also benefit from the dual testing modality. In an interview with Cure, one of the study authors noted that the two tests can be, quote, highly complementary, and patients should talk with their healthcare teams about which of the two or both they should undergo.
And this, it reminds me of something I sometimes tell sources when I'm speaking with them on the phone or over Zoom, which is I'll always take more information rather than less. I think the more information that you have in your back pocket about your disease, about your health, it can really only help you, in my opinion. I know I spoke to a doctor recently for an article for our upcoming lung cancer special issue, which is coming out, where he talked about the fact that not all patients with non-small cell lung cancer are getting tumor testing done. And there are treatments that are either very, very beneficial or potentially not at all beneficial if you know the genetic subtype of your tumor. And so he strongly urged patients out there to have these tests done, especially circulating tumor DNA test. It's a simple blood draw. It's a very, very simple test. Finally, today, increased physical activity may be able to lessen pain in cancer survivors, according to one new study. Specifically, researchers wrote that, quote, meeting or exceeding physical activity guidelines was associated with less pain intensity compared with being physically inactive, and people who remained active longer term were previously physically active or became active also reported less pain than those who remained inactive. And these benefits were also seen in patients who were previously active but then became inactive, highlighting the possibility that when it comes to pain reduction, the benefits of being active can stretch long term. But interestingly, there was no association between physical activity and painkiller use.
I was fascinated to hear that, and I guess this is fodder for more research in the future. You know, we just report the news, we're not doing the research, but that there was no association between physical activity and painkiller use, since, you know, we see time and again, we've covered so many things about how physical activity can improve pain, psychosocial issues, and quality of life. It's obviously not a cure. It's not like, oh, just go for a jog and you'll be fine. But I do think it's something that could be really, really important, worth studying more. We definitely have more on our website about physical activity and lifestyle, things that can potentially boost quality of life in patients and survivors. So definitely check that out on curetoday.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Be sure to stay tuned to curetoday.com for all the latest news from the oncology space. And until we talk to you next time, I've been Alex Bice.
And I'm Brielle Bennion.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Cure Today and on X at Cure_Today. And be sure to sign up for Cure's e-newsletter for the latest in cancer updates, research, and educational opportunities.